Straight Talk on WRHIFM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now, live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, here's South Carolina's top public affairs program, Straight Talk, and your host, celebrating his 70-ish something birthday, Manning Kimmel.
Well, I don't know where all that stuff came from, but that's what happens when you're in the media business and you're having a birthday. Things just come out of nowhere and boom, boom, boom. But you know what? I got the sheriff of York County here, and he's going to make sure that no shenanigans goes on during this 30 minutes of the program. Is that right, Sheriff?
I believe that to be the case.
Okay, good, 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 good. His name is Tony Breed. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. After we remind you that Straight Talk is presented every day by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Sheriff, how you doing?
Good. How are you this afternoon, whatever it is?
Our guest is Sheriff of York County, Tony Breeden. And for those who have not had a chance to meet with you, sit down and have a sandwich with you, tell them a little bit about your background.
Grew up in Charlotte, graduated high school, went in the Marine Corps. While I was in the Marine Corps, I went on embassy duty. Traveled all over the place, multiple countries, came back, working at the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office in Charlotte in the jail. Did a little over 2 years there. Moved to Rock Hill beginning in 95 and began a career at the Rock Hill Police Department. Did just under 28 years there. Retired in 2022. Around 25 years on the SWAT team at Rock Hill. Then retired. Went to work at Inspiration Ministry, Inspiration TV in Indian Land for 2 years.
Oh, boy.
And then it was a year ago tomorrow when, you know, this opportunity presented itself. And so we took the opportunity. We participated in the process, and we were elected, and now we're serving.
Here you are.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you've got not quite 100 days in office. That always seems to be a good check mark for a lot of elected officials. What do you think? Is it more than what you thought it would be?
I think it's comparable. Anybody that would say it's not more, I would be telling the 100% truth, because you have no way to comprehend how big it is or what it is till you get there. But one thing that we said the entire campaign was how many incredible people that were already at the sheriff's office. So it's not, wasn't about me then, not about me now. There's the great majority of people are still there. Still working, still making it what it is. And so, you know, we're fortunate. We don't have a lot of turnover at the sheriff's office. There's a lot of people that, you know, we just have people that retire mainly. And, you know, there was a lot of people that were already at their time. And we've had, you know, quite a few people retire within the last year. Now, everybody told me it wasn't because of me, and I believe them. I'll take them at face value, but still hadn't been a lot, you know, just a very handful, 5-6 people that were already, most of it was already announced. But the fortunate thing for us, the command and the people that have made that place phenomenal are still there.
Good. So when you look at, every business, particularly a large business like yours, which employs hundreds of people, not only for out there doing police duty, but also taking care of the jail, you're going to always have some openings. That's just the way it is. But, you know, in this world we live in today, law enforcement has not gotten the kind of respect that I think it deserves. Although I would say that here in York County, we are very blessed that is not the general attitude.
Right. Well, one of the things that we've talked about since I got there is that I think in law enforcement, one of the things that has been a disservice to it is changing the profession to conform a generation. You know, when I first started and I got to Rock Hill, I was incredibly different than Charles Cabinus, Marvin Brown, some people that were there. And, you know, when I got there, they didn't say, hey, you know what, how can we make this job better for you? They said, here's the way you're going to do it. And if you don't, somebody's going to break their foot off in your rear end. And I was like, all right, well, there you go. So over the past, I think, 30 years, we have taken the profession and used things like millennials, Gen Z, and terms like that to change the profession instead of making the generation conform to a profession. And I think that the average person wants to be part of something special, wants to be a professional. And so we've agreed that we're not using any terms like that. If you come to sheriff's office, you're a deputy, you're a professional, we're going to treat you like one. And I believe if you do, then people will act like they're a professional. So I think to us, it's really just changing that culture to where our expectations are incredibly high and that we want to be the gold standard in the entire state and beyond about expectations at a sheriff's office, and we believe we're going to do it. We do.
You know, one thing that I notice very clearly, every time I've seen you, you're in your full uniform.
Yes,
your
sir.
Deputies are in a full uniform now. That must have been a change that you put in place?
Well, the Class A, what you see me in is a Class A uniform.
Okay.
What you see the great majority of deputies in, which is the outer carrier vest and the more of a that look is called the Class B. And all we've done is make it optional. You can either wear the Class A or you can wear a Class B. You can, so we didn't make it mandatory to wear the Class A. I just like a Class A because I believe it's a traditional uniform. And there have been, we've had roughly 19 people since it was an option say they want to wear the Class A uniform. So we didn't, there's no mandate on it changing. The only thing you have to change is if you want to wear the Class A. But we still have the Class B uniform because it is a great uniform for the deputies that are working the road and that the people that are out there working, it's a good work uniform for them. So that's still, they can still wear that uniform.
Well, I must admit, Class A looks pretty sharp. Pretty sharp.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
He walks in and I want to salute.
Well, sorry. I don't have a cover on, so I can't salute you, but I'll acknowledge it.
All right, so you obviously, in your first 100 days or so, have, what would you call it, made, these are the goals that I want to achieve. Have you set those out for the whole group?
Yes, sir. We're working on our three-year plan now, and it's really, it's a, the one thing that we've talked about from the very beginning, that it's a collaborative effort between the command and the people there to sit there and set goals. You know, so when people used to ask me, you know, what are the top three things you're going to do? And I was like, you can't answer that, you know, until you get there and you see what people are doing and you listen to people that have already been doing it. So what we've done is we, the command staff, all of us have gotten together and worked on what we think the goals are. But my, you know, the only thing that I have personally said for me is to raise the level of professionalism, to raise the level of excellence and our expectations on people. And, you know, because one of the things that I say, I've said it whenever we have meetings or anything, I say we have one responsibility, protect the county. When you peel all the layers back of what we do, we're here to protect the county. That's it. And what we drive, what we wear, those things don't matter unless we're protecting the county. And so now what's been good is there's even some of the leadership that will now use the same terminology when they're having meetings or talking to their folks. We're here to protect the county. Because if you say that at the beginning, then it lets you, it sets the tone for what you're trying to do. So it's not necessarily goals that I have. We just want to protect the county. And everybody there will do it together.
So they would call that your kind of your vision statement, but that's it.
Yeah.
So underneath that, have you developed any, you know, as you say, goals for 3 years? 3 years is a long time, but still it takes time to put all the things together to achieve that goal.
Right. So some of the specific things that we've talked about in the beginning, we want to grow the traffic unit at the county. Traffic's a major problem in the county. We want to grow our sexual offense unit, our special victims unit, whatever you would use for it, to combat that constant online problem, the targeting of our youth, the targeting of our children. We want to grow that and continue to expand on that. We want to continue to grow the drug unit, multi-jurisdictional drug unit, continue to work with. The good thing about having the multi-jurisdictional is all the chiefs and everybody in the county works together, solicitor, to continue to combat that. So we want to continue to grow that. And those are just some of the three things that we've initially stated that we want to try and grow those specific entities. But it's really to also kind of grow patrol and make sure that we have the things in place to kind of to fight those. We started recently backup, a comp stat unit, a formula of a comp stat, where as a county we come together and look at three or four quality of life things that are affecting the county as a whole, and we take those and only focus on, because one of the, to me, the Chief Gregory, when he started our comp stat, it was honestly the best formula in what we saw as far as the comp stat model and what we did. And he, you know, his philosophy was, if everything's important, nothing's important. So you take two or three, four things that are your top priorities and you combat those things. And now it's everybody at the county participates, whether we use zoning ordinances, you know, so it's not just a sheriff's office, because there's other things that we need to do some of them. So we've created that comp stat model and starting to move forward with it.
So is it targeting any particular, I don't know, segment of the community or area of the community?
You really take, like, one of our top priorities is to work on, like, car break-ins, B&E autos, and auto thefts. So we're working to put together some really good educational pieces right now. We're trying to work on, you know, just getting people to just lock your doors and don't leave valuables. You would be amazed how many people that husband and wife parked in the driveway, one car is unlocked, they go in it, the key fob to the other car is in that car, and then they get in that second car and leave in it. people that leave purses, guns, laptops in their driveway at night, car unlocked. Because what they'll do is they'll just drop off at an apartment complex or a neighborhood and just walk, pulling doors. And everything that's unlocked, you're in there. And if there's nothing visible, it's not unlocked, they will go past that car and hit the easy targets. So simply locking your doors and removing valuables, we would cut it down. You can't even put the numbers on how much it would take it down. So we're working on some educational pieces. We're working on that. We're working with apartment complexes and things like that to just get the information. Lock your daggum car doors. So it's
so simple.
Right. You'd be surprised at neighborhoods they hit, and they drop out one or two on each side, and they walk the street pulling car doors. We'll get ring cams. We'll get cameras of it. They open the door, get in, take it, and go.
So to do that, I mean, we've got over 300,000 people now in this county. Lord knows how many new apartment complexes we have.
Right.
How can you pull this off with the staffing that you have right now? It sounds to me like you could use another 100 deputies.
Well, we could do that. So I guess that put that down as one of the goals. But I can't wait till we tell county council that. But,
I'll tell them for you.
Yeah, tell them. But no, but that's where, you know, and one of the things that we're doing is we are thinking outside the box. We want to shoot some good, high-quality videos to put out to show people this is what's happening. Just one thing to just go to a meeting, but when you see it and you visualize it, that changes it. We're trying to look at David Martin in Fort Mill, House Representative, reached out, and he's introducing some bills that enhance the penalty to come from North Carolina and do it, especially if you have a weapon. He's reached out to me. He's going to get some people that are going to help us with the video part of it, the signage that we're looking at doing. We'll work together with other agencies too to help them, because a lot of our areas, the same people that hit us will turn around and hit Rock Hill and Fort Mill and TDK in the same night.
Sure.
So we'll partner with all of them once we get it to them to have access, share it, and some of the things we're doing. And we're looking at some signage that we can do, temporary signage that we can make some really nice high quality signs to put at different areas, you know, help us to prevent the beanie autos. So it's, you remember when gas drive-offs were really, really bad a long time ago?
Oh, sure.
And it was the single most preventable crime in the world, prepay for gas.
That's exactly right.
You know, once they did that, it went away. So locking our doors, putting up valuables, you know, you're never going to make it. But once you dry up the opportunity and the availability of it, they'll go somewhere else.
But to do that, you need the public's cooperation.
Right.
Because all right. They're doing by not doing something simple is creating more drain on your manpower.
Right. And I know that some people get busy. Everybody's living their lives, and I understand that. But we don't live in Mayberry. You know, it's not, you know, you can't, you just have to realize that. But I also believe in, you don't put your head in the sand and not tell people what to, you know, you're not worried about somebody thinking, well, I don't want people to think we live in a county where people are breaking into our cars. Well, we freaking do, you know. So at this point, not talking about it is dumber than anything else. So,
and as we grow, the problem's going to grow.
It is.
Simple as that.
And we're right near Charlotte.
Oh,
which,
gosh.
So, and that's, you know, we actually have thought about putting a billboard on the interstate that says they don't prosecute you in North Carolina, turn around and go back to Charlotte. So we need to get the verbiage on it. But
I like
so,
that.
So we're going to do everything we can to make them stay in Charlotte. That would be the ideal thing.
All right. So car thefts, car break-ins is one of those concepts.
Yep.
Have you identified a second or a third?
Carowinds Boulevard, just because of the, you know, with some of the criminal element up there, the hotels on Carowinds Boulevard, and to just try and reduce the crime up there. And the hotels, we've met with all of them. They're in a good partnership with it. We're working forward with that. And then number three is, obviously, the homeless is the number three thing on our list to kind of address it.
Well, we can do a whole show on that one.
Well, just let me know when.
Well, we're going to take a break, okay?
All right,
and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with York County Sheriff Tony Breeden as our Straight Talk program continues on this Monday afternoon, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our co-sponsor today is Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Back right after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef, sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill. And it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. York County Sheriff Tony Breeden is with us, and we're talking about his first 100 days. He's managed to get through those first 100 days. No big disappointments, no big surprises.
No, sir.
That's good. Yes. That's good. So you talked about three comp sets. The business about car thefts, break-ins. We talked about the Carowinds Boulevard area. And we're just talking about the issue of the homeless. So, growing problem throughout the region and right here in York County.
Yes, sir.
So, how do you go about tackling that one?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that you do is with with some of the ordinances. Rock Hill's been really good about some of their ordinances. You look at it. You also, some of the things that you're incredibly familiar with when you're using your resources, and you do try and you provide the people the resources that want them, and you know there are some of the people that are in that want to get out of it and want help. There are, right. And I think that what we all have a responsibility to do is identify those and get those people the resources they need. And then also the people that don't, you deal with them from what they're doing. If they're breaking the law, deal with it. If they don't want to participate, don't want to do this and this, then your ideal goal is to relocate them, you know, and to me, preferably to somebody else's county. But I think that, you know, that's the first thing is to determine that. Now, one, it gets a lot harder now. We're in, the weather's better. Some of them don't rely on the shelters and things now. They're a lot more self-sufficient out where they can stay and live. The survivability is a lot higher in the spring and summer and fall than it is the winter. So, you know, that is another thing. And then the foliage grows. It gets harder to see where they are. And so it's – but to me, that's our first thing is – and one of the things that we're doing is making sure that, you know, when we encounter somebody that does want to try, does want to work, that we at least have those conversations about the resources that are available. And but like I said, the percentage of people that were that one paycheck away and lost everything and ended up where they were is an incredibly small number, what we deal with on a daily basis.
You need to tell the audience the story that you were telling me before we went on the start of the program about the encampment that you found, what was there, and what the property owner had to deal with once it was discovered.
So right off Carowinds Boulevard, we lieutenant knew about an encampment, and we walked back, and it is two of the large, I don't know, 10, 12-person tents back-to-back. It had a couple of the pop-up canopies. It had what looked like two or three bedrooms in a house without the house in the woods. Multiple old grills, piles of trash 6-8 feet high where they just throw trash right outside, and shelves and bookshelves with clothes, utensils, kitchen, multiple grills, old grills, rusted grills, trash, everything. And it was, you know, if we had to estimate, probably maybe 2-3 dump truck loads of just trash in this encampment, one encampment for two people. And so you look at it, and even when they move on, that's still there. And if you own that property, now who's responsible for that cleanup? You are. You know, and that's what's unfortunate about it. And so that is why there's people also have to understand that it's not just simply seeing somebody and say, I really feel sorry for them, because it's okay to, but what kind of burden are they putting on all of society by doing it? A tremendous amount.
Right.
And, you know, and I've said before that there's an element that's among that crowd that are not like you and I, that are law-abiding citizens and want to do the best we can. They are, there's an element in that are some dangerous people. And, you know, what I look at it is, you know, when you see how aggressive some of these people are to panhandle and ask for things, they're not going to come up to me.
You know,
I've tried to, and I don't know whether it's just my incredibly soft demeanor I have or something else, but I can't get them to approach me. Even
it's
when
not
I,
uniform.
Well, no, I'm talking about not even in uniform, but like my wife, my daughter, your wife, your daughter, they will absolutely terrify them in
sure.
to giving, and that's sure. that's just a concern I have, and it so.
Well, I was glad to hear about the city of Rock Hill, what they're doing with this new app that they've got coming out.
Right.
It's just going to put you in direct contact with them.
Okay.
If somebody approaches you downtown,
okay.
you push that button, boom.
Oh, that is good.
You're going to get some help. You're going to get some help. All right, a couple other topics. We got a release about a great big traffic blitz that you and another county are going to be doing later this week.
Sheriff Dorsey, we're meeting tomorrow.
Earl Max.
All the month of April. We are going to work the South Carolina 72 corridor from us York County to Chester. Rock Hill's going to participate as well. And we're just going to cut down on some of the traffic collisions, the high speed, and any of that going back and forth. So Sheriff Dorsey reached out to me. We are participating in that. The April Blitz will start tomorrow. We're meeting about 1 o'clock, 1300, to do that. And then our traffic unit, our patrol captain and patrol leadership are going to coordinate with Sheriff Dorsey and his people to do some coordinated, not to mention just day-to-day enforcement, but sure. There's going to be probably maybe 10 to 15 days a month that we work together on both sides in conjunction with each other to make that difference.
You need to be careful on that road. It's only two lanes, and you get too high a rate of speed, and you're in trouble.
Right.
Very quickly.
Right.
So it was interesting. I know that you've taken your public information officer, Trent Ferris, and sent him out there to Pickens County.
Right.
Help out with the massive public information issues they have out there with all this fire. Incredible.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that fire has now jumped over to the North Carolina side.
Right.
12,000 acres, and they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, he was pretty excited about going. Of course, he didn't want to not do the things he did here, but they needed help, and he's a really, 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 really good at what he does.
Yeah, he is.
And so it was – to me, we've looked at it that, you know, we want to be good stewards of everything that we have. So if we have something somebody needs and we can provide it, we need to do it. So I think it'll benefit them. I think that people down there will get information, better information, timely information for him being there. And I think that at the end of the day, that's really what you want.
Well, that gives people, I guess, a broader perspective of how law enforcement works. You've got a lot of partnerships with virtually every law enforcement agency throughout this region. To together get done what you need to get done, because no one of you alone can do it all.
Right. Yes, sir. I mean, it's there's when you have these memorandums of agreements and understanding, that's why, because at any given moment, any one of us could be in a situation where it doesn't matter how many people you have, you need more. And I think that's what everybody focuses on.
So we're in the budget season for anybody who works in government. And I'm sure you've submitted your budget already, have you?
We're pretty close.
You want to let any cat out of the bag?
We had a little bit longer than the rest of the county because we were starting in January. So Mr. Edwards in county council gave us a little bit longer than the rest of the county agencies because of that. So ours is ready and right there for submittal. We were just, you know, looking at some things that were still available and what we were trying to do and to, you know, to just firm that up. So, a lot of people were – it was funny during the campaign, there was a lot of people that they would come up to me and that was – they would say, look, I love everything about you, but I'm concerned about the budget. And they said, you've never done a budget. I said, no sheriff has till he's elected. And she said, well, that's true. And I said, I've never bounced a check. And she started laughing. And I said, you also got to realize the sheriff isn't sitting. I don't have a 55-gallon drum with money in it that I hand out till it's gone. There's a whole fleet of people that help with the budget. And then when people see the enormity of that budget, they stop and don't think about what the great percentage is of salaries and vehicles and things that you have really there's no wiggle room on.
Sheriff Tony Breeden, thank you for taking a half hour out of your day to be with us. Look forward to doing this again.
Yes, sir.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, forgot to do this at the mid-program break, but I'm not going to forget to do it now. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How we do it is right in the white letters, and we're all going to chant it out together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Happy birthday, Manny.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's enough. See you on the radio. Bye-bye.